discuss them in the spring. And I see that in April, April 26 is a meeting time. And it would probably be good if for the January meeting, we had an update and then think about as proposals occur in the spring and the fall for the next budget year. It seems that the camp will take place in the year 2022. I have this organized. So it would be in the next budget year and would need to understand how the funding would be made and or been provided, if possible, before the end of this fiscal year. Does that sound right, Chris?
It sounds right to me, Kathy. This is Chris, yeah. And in preparation for today's meeting, I did have some discussions with Michelle Provost, who is the chief fiscal administrative officer for ADS, or that's the department of which BSBY is a part. And you know, both, so she would know that this was, you know, under consideration for sometime down the road, as you say, next late next summer. And that would be in the next state fiscal year. And I asked her a little bit about how we might, if certain funds were not being used for the purposes for which they were budgeted, whether we could try to claw back some of those funds to use for this. And so she's gathering some information on how and if that might be possible, if it looked like some of our vendors were not going to be using all of their funds, and they could be used in a positive way to help plan for the camp, whether we could, in effect, redirect some of the Deafblind Advisory Committee grant money to that purpose. So we'll have more to report on that at the January meeting, on that process, and also on any limitations on the use of the funds. Just to say that if ADS, if the agency that BSBY is a part of, was going to be committing any funds, those would have to go towards serving Connecticut residents, so that certain things where the costs might be more easily broken out, like transportation or food costs or other things like that, we could possibly put some of the BSBY money towards those, whereas other funding sources would have to be used for some of the expenses that would potentially be incurred by out-of-state residents.
Chris, Kathy Morgan, I think the January and April are important timelines to consider. You mentioned money for food, I think you said, and I don't think that's under the grant. I see it more support of SSPs when necessary, or speakers or something else. I think what I want to emphasize is that we don't want to lose money from this year's budget going back to the state. This would seems like would be an opportunity for this funding to be used. Thank you.
Alvin Chegg has a comment.
Yes. Okay, I have a question in regards to the deafblind retreat camp. I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. I would like to know, will it be happening before or after the ASD annual summer camp? I'm just wondering about that. I just was curious. I wanted to be make sure we're safe in the guide the time frame.
And Jesse would like to respond.
This is Jesse. Yes, in response to Alvin's question, thank you, Alvin. The deafblind retreat is going to occur after the ASD annual summer camp. The deafblind retreat is scheduled for August 15th through the 20th. So that's a Monday to Saturday time frame. And it's already been booked. We've already, you know, reserved the site. What we also would like to do is we've reserved March 13th and 14th for training for our staff. The staff will be, I think there's going to be about 20 to 25 hours worth of training that we'll be providing before the deafblind individuals arrive. That answers your question.
This is Hannah Tyler, your chair. I have a question as to are these for all ages, and how will they be, or if it is adults, how will they be, separated or how will they be grouped? And also the other question, as far as staff, would this fundraiser be a portion for the staff cost as well? What does all the monies include? Would you need volunteers? Well, obviously, how will that money be dispersed? Question for Jesse.
Lisa's saying, yeah, Jesse, could you give that breakdown? Jesse's saying, just a moment. Okay, so this is Jesse here. Responding to your questions, Hannah?
Yes.
It will be age 18 and up. No children will be allowed. They must be adults, 18 and above. And related to the groupings, well, what we're trying to do is we would like to have a variety of levels and backgrounds grouped together. That's going to depend on what we see, and we also want to really focus on diversity. So, you know, we would like to group some of the older individuals with the younger. Also like to make it more of a, you know, mix as far as male and female.
if possible, you know, we hope to make sure that it's, you know, a very diversified in, you know, as far as any kind of backgrounds and also experiences. We don't know who's going to sign up. We don't know who is going to plan to attend yet. So that is, you know, that's our goal, but we don't have those details yet. Also, as far as our volunteer staff, we are expecting all of them to help provide some of the cost. We know that it cannot be free, but if they could maybe individually provide some of their own fundraising so that that would cover the costs of their attending the retreat. Let me see. Let me look at my notes here. I believe that answers your question. Am I correct, Hannah?
Yes, but I thought of another question. What about service dogs? I would love to attend, but I have this cute dog. Would animals be allowed?
This is Jesse. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, if the individual has a need to bring their service dog, yes, of course. They do need to make sure that they are responsible for taking care of and feeding their own service animals, yes.
Okay, that sounds fabulous. I do have one, this is Hannah Tyler. I do have one other thing I'd like to mention. It was mentioned in our last minute, but I noticed it in our local Woodbury paper about the state launching a pilot program for low vision and blind people. The one that's called AARON-RUP. It is a one moment. I'm looking at the article. It is a program that you use as a navigation tool. They are in conjunction with Department of Motor Vehicle of Transportation, I'm sorry. And it is a navigational tool that will be used with your smartphone. Now my question, I'm not sure whom I should address, maybe Chris. That individual must have a smartphone. Is there any way, let's say some of the people who are handicapped, they may be on limited budget. Is there a way we can help providing a phone? Because some are very simple if we don't have the smart technology. So how will individuals be able to utilize this program?
Excuse me, Hannah, this is Lisa.
Yes.
I'd like to make a comment.
Sure.
I'm not really sure. It seems like we are getting off point here. I wanted to make sure that we had clarified what we were talking about with the deafblind retreat. I did not know that that discussion was completed, and now it seems that we're moving on to another topic. So could we complete the discussion on the deafblind retreat before we move to another topic? Thank you.
Yes. If there are any comments or questions on the retreat, please state it now.
This is Alvin.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Alvin here. I do have a question, and if you need help with coordinating interpreting services, I understand you're talking about ProTactile and, maybe...
Haptics.
I think that, maybe we could talk about that offline, but I think that that's an important information that we need to get out there. This is Lisa. Jesse, maybe you can answer that. I'm letting Jesse catch up. Okay, yes, this is Jesse. Just here, yes, in response to your comment and question, Alvin, yes. That's a very good question relating to interpreting experiences. We're going to get into more detail later, but in summary, the entire week is a great opportunity and learning experience for interpreters themselves. So, as far as interacting with deaf-blind community. So yes, we're looking for them to be able to get opportunities on for training for themselves. We do not yet have a interpreter assigned yet, right? Maybe for deafblind individuals who rely more on hearing and speaking, that type of interpreter, we may need to look at providing that. Again, what we're trying to do is we would like to provide more of this as a one-on-one, a direct communication between deafblind leaders and deafblind individuals who are participating. But yes, if there's a presenter or something who's going to be providing information, we may need to provide an interpreter for that. First of all, our deafblind individuals, normally they do not get information directly from another individual. They very often have to rely on interpreters to get that information. And if the interpreter is not qualified, or if they are misunderstanding, then they are relaying incorrect information to the deafblind individual. So, or maybe they've missed some of what's being said. Our goal will try to provide as much direct communication between participants and presenters. But of course, for workshops, where there are interpreters needed, yes, we would be looking to that, to provide that interpreting services for that, like for formal trainings, things like that. Deafblinding International, they do provide interpreters in those settings also. Did I answer your question, Alvin? This is Alvin. Yes. Yes, it was a perfect answer. Thank you. Also, I am looking forward to maybe talking with you in more detail about, for example, for emergencies, if you need interpreters. I would be more than happy to help with that, and we can talk offline. Okay.
Are there any other comments or questions regarding this retreat?
Hi, Matt. This is Chris Lassen. I'm sorry. Tara has a question. Go ahead.
Who's interpreting?
Oh, okay. Tara speaking. So I just wanted to say...
Just a moment, Tara. We need to interpret for you. We need to get the spotlight on the right person.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Tara speaking. I just wanted to say how awesome of an idea this is. I love it. I'm very excited. And please let me know how HKNC can support. Perhaps we can help with advertising. We have quite a network in New England. So we are happy to email out, look for volunteers, fundraising, just let me know. And if there's any other ways we can support as well, I'll be happy to discuss more with you offline.
Jesse and Lisa saying that's great. Thank you.
And Hannah, it's Chris again. I wanted to say that, just to make clear, I will ask the fiscal people who oversee the use of the grant money to give me a little more clarity on what they would consider allowable expenses out of the state money, and also on the prospect of trying to use some of the current year funds if it looks halfway through the year like they are going to go unused.
Right. This is Hannah Tyler, your chair. Yes, Chris Lanton, that would be a great idea because we don't want to lose the funds that were originally meant to benefit the deafblind. That's why I also wanted to find out if part of this can be used for this pilot program that was in the paper. It's for low vision and blind people regarding ERA, A-I-R-A, ERA, a navigational app on the phone. To really utilize that feature sounds wonderful for people who may want to use public transportation. They have to have the right equipment to use this program. Sounds good, but if they don't have a phone that can utilize the program, it wouldn't benefit. So, yes, that would be great if you can check into that. Are there any other announcements?
Lisa has an announcement. Okay, you said this is the time for announcements. I just want to make sure. I just wanted to clarify. Okay, sorry about that. Oh yes, begin spotlight, Lisa. Okay. Sorry, there's technology. Sometimes the interpreter's freezing or I'm freezing, so I apologize for that. In regards to an announcement, the DBAC, all of us here with the Deafblind Advisory Group, it's, again, some of us, have experience in this area, some do not. Again, but as we're all kind of, joining and here together and for this purpose. But I would like everyone just to kind of be mindful and keep in the back of your mind and just of this, that respect for deafblind and for people like me and, for individuals who are involved that are fully deafblind, and not to, just because we do have specific, communication needs with the interpreters and things during the meeting with regards to spotlighting, or it's different than if it was in person or with other individuals involved. So just want everyone to keep that in mind, because it's, sometimes everybody gets so, into the meeting and you're not thinking about the other members that are deafblind that are in and participating. So just as a general reminder, and I just want to help everyone understand that there are specific needs. So I just wanted to, again, put my thoughts in there. Thank you all.
Again, this is Hannah Tyler, your chair. Are there any other announcements that someone may want to let us know any important dates, any exciting news.
Anna, it's Chris again. I did want to say that the it's called the IRA program, and you're right, it is A-I-R-A. They pronounce it, they pronounce it IRA, apparently. And it is available. It's been used in other major metropolitan areas in the Northeast, in Boston and in New York City. And this pilot project in Connecticut will run through March 2023, and it does permit the use of the IRA services using the camera on a smartphone. There is an operator in real time telling the IRA user what is visible on the smartphone camera. So it does require that you have a smartphone. And at this point, I don't believe we've had any discussions about how to assist clients in getting a smartphone, you know, with a plan that would enable somebody to use it, the service, but it is available in, at present for the next, 15 months or so. That's the length of the current pilot project.
Thank you, Chris. I did notice that in the paper. There's also several apps that I use. One is AI, which is similar, where you use your camera to take a picture of a scene or a letter. It will read it to you. It will describe a scene, which was interesting. I have taken pictures of some of my friends, and of course they laughed when they were identified 10 years older. It was very beneficial. So it does have numerous apps that will benefit for the blind. But thank you. If you could please check into that, we'll get a more update at our next meeting. So if there are
Hannah, Alvin has his hand raised, and then also Jesse has his hand raised.
Okay.
And also Alan has his hand raised as well.
Okay.
Hi, this is Alvin. Talking about that that program that you're talking about, Hannah, it's something like that. I mean, I would like maybe to get feedback first maybe from either Jesse or for Lisa and other deaf-blind, you know, residents here in Connecticut. I would suggest, you know, seeing what their, you know, their feedback is first before, you know, kind of looking at this sort of, you know, application, because I think you could really get a lot more, a wealth more of information from their voice, and, you know, so again, so we know what we're kind of supporting and what we're kind of advocating from them first.
And also, if it's dependent on a person being able to hear the feedback, that will have an impact.
If I might say something?
Who was speaking?
Alan.
Go ahead.
The service that you're talking about is a connection to a live person. That live person uses the camera on your smartphone to to look around you. That live person will also look to give you direction.